Continuing to discuss issues of Tyrovus Chametz. We'll probably talk about Kitnios too if we get to. Hopefully we will. B'shas HaTachak Kegon Utzorech Ola Ozakein. So if there's a pressing need, whether it's for someone who's ill or somebody who's elderly and they're limited in their diet, Utaren Lefos Matzos Imei Beitzim You're allowed to bake matzah with the liquid of eggs or fruit juice or milk or wine and the like. It's considered matzah ashira, which literally translates as rich matzah, has more than just water and flour. So it has more stuff in it. But one has to be careful to make sure that there's not even a little bit of water that mixes into regular water that mixes into that mixture. So this whole question about whether matzah shira is allowed on Pesach. So generally speaking, we're machmir are not to allow it, particularly Ashkenazim. I think Sfaradim do allow matzah ashira. So Bachlokas Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi assumes that fruit juice has the ability to create chametz nuksha. So it's not bona fide chametz, but it's a form of it is a derivative of chametz. Tosfos assume that if there's no mixture of water whatsoever, so there's no possibility of it really becoming chametz. Rambam paskin that fruit juice cannot ever cause something to become chametz. So again, we're strict generally. Ashkenazim are generally strict. For Sfaradim, and for those in Ashkenazim who have a particular need, so then there's room to be lenient if it's being done in a heavily supervised and careful fashion. But for everybody, you have to eat regular matzah on the first two nights. Why? You're not going to fulfill your obligation of the mitzvah to eat matzah on the first two nights with matzah shira. So why is that? The reason would be because it's lechem oni, it needs to be lechem oni, to be poor man's bread. It has to be the basic form of matzah. So we don't use matzah shira even in those circumstances. And unless there's a big need, one should not make matzah shira even if it's before Pesach, for Pesach. Okay, so that's matzah shira. Halacha hey, very simple four words: kol mine kitnios asuros. All forms of kitnios, of legumes, are forbidden. Again, this is written from the Beis Medrash of Yeshiva University, where the default psakim are Ashkenazi. Obviously, Sfaradim do eat kitnios. So how is it that kitnios become forbidden? So Gemara explicitly states that rice doesn't have the ability to become leavened. So based on that, it would seem like rice should not be chametz. However, Rishonim had all sorts of concerns that maybe one would mix up the kitnios with the flour, and it would get mixed up somehow or another, or maybe if one wasn't careful that the grains would literally become not just that mistake one for the other, but that they would literally get mixed together. Right. Exactly. Right. If you're going to have rice, even for Sfaradim, they have to check it very carefully, which people forget about. Right. It's like, oh, Sfaradim get to have rice, but they have a method for how to make sure that it's done properly. So Ashkenazi minhag has become that we don't eat kitnios. Whether new things can become kitnios. So for example, peanut butter, they bring down here that Ramosha famously said that peanut butter technically shouldn't be kitnios, because the only things that should be kitnios are things that actually, were part of the original custom to not to refrain from. But things that are recently discovered or recently became popular, so maybe those shouldn't be included in kitnios. So that brings up the whole discussion of quinoa, which is a machlokas between Rav Shachter and Rav Willig. Rav Shachter says we should paskin like Rav Moshe, that quinoa shouldn't be considered a kitnios. It was for a long time considered kitnios by most kashrus organizations, because you had a real issue that quinoa was being grown near other, I think, chametz-like grains. I don't know if it was wheat or other things. So there actually was that real concern. But once they figured out a way to grow the quinoa in that area, so there are kashrus organizations that certify it now, and Rav Schechter agrees to that. Rav Willick says that because people started having the custom not to have quinoa, so now it has the status of ketnios. So even though I guess now it's supervised, he seems to hold that it's that one should not have it at this point. So somebody who has an illness of some sort can't eat regular food that healthy people are able to eat during Pesach. They should be able to eat kinyos without having to annul their vow. So what's the basis behind both of these things? So Soloveitchik felt that if you consider something that's a derabanan or a minhag to be a doraisa, if I say that kinyos is just as forbidden as chametz, I'm violating Baal Tosif. I'm violating the prohibition of adding to the Torah. It's one thing to say that I have a chumrah not to to eat kinyos, but some people like literally think that that kinyos and chametz are equally forbidden. That's problematic. So by definition, then we have to be lenient in certain situations. If we would be lenient in other areas when something's a derabanan or a minhag, so that should apply to kinyos as well, and that should apply to somebody who is ill, not even somebody who's, you know, beyond functioning, but even somebody for whom it's just very, you know, difficult medically. You know, all, people have all sorts of stomach issues that come up. So you know, one should consult their doctor and rabbi in those circumstances. But there's room to be makel. So there's no need to do a hataras nedarim. That was something that Rav Schechter discussed during COVID, because there were people who, at least before Pesach, were concerned whether or not that actually became reality, but there was a concern that there'd be a shortage of food, and what if we really need to rely on kinyos type foods in order to be able to have a full diet on Pesach? So that's a shas hadchak, and so Rav Schechter said there's room to be lenient if it's necessary, but you don't need to do hataras nedarim because for two reasons. Number one, if I accept upon myself a practice as an individual. So the assumption is that I'm generally going to that I'm going to do it when I'm able to do it. If I'm not able to do it, so I really didn't accept upon myself to do a practice that was going to be impossible for me to do in a particular situation. So that's the assumption there, and especially with something like kinyos, so it's not a personal custom; it's a communal custom. So at any rate, I can't do a hataras nedarim for kinyos because it's not my custom; it's the Ashkenazi community's custom. But also similar idea that presumably the Ashkenazim accept upon themselves not to eat kinyot when it's possible to uphold that chumrah. When it's not possible, so Bistama, they did not have in mind to uphold that custom. Okay, last thing on kinyos here. Kinyos shenishtanu b'mahusam v'tama and yesh l'hatir lochan. So kinyos, if they completely transform into a different substance there, fundamentally a different substance, they taste different, so then you should be allowed to have them. So in order for something like corn syrup to become acceptable, so not only would the form have to change, it would have to change from corn to the syrup, but it would have to change to a totally different taste. So if